This is a Thanksgiving service. You know, this is our praise to God for the year 2000. We just started learning how to write the year 2018, 2019, and then in the summer and a winter, it's 2020. Goes. And we go. Where do we go? We go up. We're going up. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're going up. We're going up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. Do you know that in Luke 16, when the poor man, the beggar, died, what happened? Yeah, but what happened? Do you remember the little detail that Jesus puts in there? Yes, two angels came and took him. Psalm 90, verse 10, we fly away. James chapter 2, the spirit, the body, when it has no spirit, the body is dead. I remember reading about a young man who died in a hospital. He left his body, went up into the sky, and then he came back into his body. And you know what he told the doctors? There's a pair of sneakers on the roof of the hospital. Yeah. Oh, my. Come on. Wow. Hey, it's real. We're going to fly away. It's real. 2018 was not in vain. There was value in 2018. Because of Christ. I was in the barber shop today. There was a man, he finished with me. I got up and a man took my place. The barber said, thank you, Pastor. Have a good year. I said, I felt it was a time. I had a moment to say something. And I said, Christ is the answer for people. And this gentleman here in the chair, Christ is the answer. And he goes, oh, what do you mean? I said, what's Christmas mean? And the barber said, Christ was born. The man said, what does that mean? I said, 100% God, 100% man came because our biggest problem is death. I don't know that when the last time he ever heard that or if he had heard it, but it felt good to say it. Then I got going a little bit more. And I said, no, man's greatest problem is death, and the next greatest problem is himself. And Christ is the answer. We are here tonight to thank God for a lot of things. We're going to look at Psalm 145, but I want to draw the ministry this way. This is the world. Look at this. Great to have a smart guy like this hanging around. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. Yes. Hey, tonight is Thanksgiving for a lot of great folks that have done so much, unsung heroes. People of faith. Hey, how about all the drummers in the bands? There's three bands. All the drummers, come right up here on the stage for a second. All the drummers, come on up. Go ahead. If you're a drummer, just stand right there. We got one. We got another one. Thank you, Craig. Thank you. Where's the drummers? Where are they? Let's see, there's Joe Hadley. Charles Hadley's in Turkey. John Reynolds. And Ben Zook, no. Than, is it Than? Than Zucker, the drummers. Huh? And Ed Yanowski. Wow, we just want to thank you. There's Ed. He doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to fight his way out. You want to stand for a second? There's the drummer. There he is. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Praise the Lord for the drummers. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Where were we? What were we saying? Okay. All right. The world. What do you say? Guitar players. Okay. You're a guitar player. Stand up. Hey, the bands, there they are. Piano player, stand up, please. Piano player. Okay, we want to thank you. Do you know how much work that is to come in here through the week and practice and play? How many services do we have in a week? Four of them, and we're thinking of doubling it. And you know how much work that is to practice and do all this music. And we just want to say, Julius, Pastor Hadley. How about so if you're a soloist, if you're a choir member, if you're on a singing group, would you just stand up in the congregation here? You're a soloist, choir member. Singing group. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You gave us a great year. You gave us a great year. Thank you, Lord. This picture, what is this picture of? Huh? You want to hear a little joke? This is a bird's eye view of a Mexican on snow skis. Okay, let's move on. Okay, what is this? World. What's this? Baltimore. From the very inside, from inside our hearts, people have gone out on buses to bring people in for services. We have three buses running. We hardly ever hear about it, but the bus drivers in this ministry, we wear them thin. We beat on them. We require of them everything. They even have to pay their own gas, put in the bus. That's Diesel Bob is one of them. Where's Diesel Bob? We got Jerry Roberge. Amazing. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. There we go. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Cassie Ryan. On the stick shift, Cassie Ryan. Cassie, where are you? There she is, Cassie. Get out of the way. Kathy's coming through with the bus. Come on. I think I missed. Mike Williams. Pastor Williams, you drive? You lost your license? Was drunken driving or something? No. Pastor Williams is a bus driver, past, present, future bus drivers. Everybody stand up. You're a past, present, future bus driver. You want to be one? All right, that did not go over. That did not go over. Listen. How much prayer happened in 2018? We heard that song. The enemies of Christ. How did the line go? Anybody remember it? What? The enemies have to flee. The enemies of Christ. The demons have to flee. What is the ministry? What is the ministry? We have a world that is held together by God. The whole universe is held together by God in Colossians chapter 1. And that he is not only creator and sustainer, But he is the knowable God. This is shocking to me that we can know him. This is, look up here for a second. We have, if we could draw some kind of a picture of God, it's very poor. But God is infinite. He's not in a box. He's way beyond. We cannot. We'll look at Psalm 145. There's part of God that is just, it says, the Greek, the word is incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. It's, his thoughts are beyond ours. His infinite nature cannot be known fully. Yeah, many of the things about God we do not know, but we know him. Maybe something like getting a bucket of ocean water and bringing it here and put it on the stage and say, this is ocean water. It's from the ocean. But the ocean is much greater than this bucket of water, but the chemistry is the same. It's the ocean water. And when God became a man, he was in human body expressing himself to us. And when he saved us and regenerated us, he gave the equipment so we could know him. And he left. Jesus said, I go, but I love this. I will not leave you. I want you to know God, my Father. I have revealed my Father to you, and we will send the Holy Spirit, and you will know the truth, and the truth will be your new life. Praise is comely for the upright, because we kind of get loose and free when we think about worshiping God in the Spirit of holiness. This is a new word that many people do not think about. It's the word righteousness. We can just write the word there. Another word, holiness. These are not words for New Year's Eve. What are you going to do tonight? Go out and get drunk? What are you going to do tonight? Hang around with a group of people watching the ball go up at Times Square? And when it goes up, you're going to say, Happy New Year. And that's all that it is. Well, I'm not looking down and I'm not cynical and I'm not, but I'm just saying how sad the human race is without God. But when we have touched his holiness, you don't forget it. In Psalm 145, some of what I've said so far is in this psalm. And we want to turn to it and make some notes on it. Look at Psalm 145, please. Thank you, Lord, for this great name. This great name. We sang about it. Wow. Verse 1. I will extol thee. This, by the way, is David's premier thanksgiving psalm. David is kind of like out of his mind about praising God. He really had got a hold of in his life. Maybe later in life you kind of realize, after all kinds of religious things kind of fall away and you've lived a kind of rock-solid life, we could say it that way somehow. I mean, none of us are rock-solid. On the other hand, when we get to know, he is incomprehensible, but he is knowable. This is a paradox, not really. Incomprehensible means that he cannot be fully known. Do you think you can fully know God, the infinite God? He cannot be fully known. We read that here in a minute. But this is eternal life. It's to know him. John 17, verse 2. I came so you would know the Father. John 17. Father, I have revealed your name to them. The name. I love it when God is not just in our small world. I want to be exercised in that this coming year. I don't want to have God in my small religious world. You know how religion kind of creeps into our hearts somehow. And I was thinking tonight, why are we gathering on New Year's Eve? And I thought of Hebrews 10, forsake not the assembly, do it all the more. Why in America they've stopped doing Sunday night services? They've stopped Wednesday night services. Why do the churches, evangelical churches, lose members? Why do we lose people? And why do people go away and slide away? And why is there a falling away of the apostolic teaching and the doctrine and the anointing and the fervency and the love and the peace and the resolution for my heart? Why? You know, sad. But let that is what it is. On the other hand, when we hit it, when the Lord does it, the Lord visits us. It's like, you know, smack your lips, everybody. That's what happens. You get a taste for it. Taste it. You enjoy it. Actually, sometimes you go to a church to look to be offended a little bit. Offend me, Lord. Great peace have they that love your word, and nothing will offend us. On the other hand, some people are easily offended. They get offended because they get socially comfortable with a group of people, and they have lost the fellowship with the God that David is talking about in this Psalm 145. Do you know that in our history, I said to my wife the other day, I go, Lisa, I'm concerned we're not being called a cult anymore. Yeah, I'm concerned. Is that good? That's a bad sign. It means we're doing nothing. But if you do something, you're going to be called a cult. The devil will say you're a cult. And I got to hear more of that going on in a good way, maybe. Second thought. Praise you, Lord. Whatever you do. I'm trying to say something. Let's look at the Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Did David believe he had eternal life? Yes, he had eternal life. And he said it. I will bless the Lord forever and ever. Verse 3. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. That's like this picture I'm trying to draw. There's something about God that is unsearchable in Psalm 147. It is incomprehensible. His ways are past finding out in Romans 11:33. And I have to say, as Christians, we must really always calculate that I don't know so much. I really don't know so much. And because we are teachers and because we have this amazing book that in it is revealed God, in it the Spirit uses the book and reveals to us God. And I believe there are things about God that we go from the natural understanding of his power and might by nature, Psalm 19. His glory, the firmament reveals his glory, and night to night speaks. And it's a language that everybody understands. It's a universal language of grace. When I eat a tomato or a strawberry, or I go for a run, or I have a good night's sleep, or I look at a little baby, a child smiling, or I look at my wife or my friend, and I sit in peace, I see the grace of God is everywhere. The earth is filled with his goodness. Oh, wow. Isn't that cool? Wow. It says Paul's message in Acts 14 was about this, that God makes us glad with food. With food. And gladness. The rain and the sun. I was in Ireland once. I saw a little calf kick up its heels. The mother was there, the cow or the bull or whatever it was. And this little calf was skirting around, jumping so happy. Happy as a little clam at high tide. And that little cow kicked up his heels, and he was so spunky. And it made an impression on me. There is so much in this world that is so good. There is so much in this life that is so awesome. And there are so many things that have happened to us in the year 2018 that we can sit here with generally healthy bodies, ears at work, and eyes at work, and friends, and food, and peace, and liberty, and a country that gives us these freedoms, and a Bible, and a church, and a mission. Look at this. This one. Here's Baltimore. And we are. I was thinking today that God sent Paul Nye, Britain's best, to the United States to work for us. Britain's best. Running all this IT stuff and all this technology to get the message of Christ in our particular way, our portion that God has given to us to go into the world and for people to hear messages and come here and go to Bible school. Then I was thinking, Pastor Philippe and Francoise, God sent us France's best and Switzerland's best to run our Bible school. They run our Bible school and have done an amazing job with our classes and our literature, our publications, the program that we have. We had amazing people go to Malawi. We had Zane Turk. We had go to India. We had Brigida. Emma Shibley just went to India. We have Matt Garrett went to Malawi. We've had these servants from our Bible college and people learning faith and because of the Holy Spirit doing that. Don't you think so? What do you think? But I'm not done. Pirio and Ula, Finland's best and Sweden's best came here to work for us in our missions department. And they know languages. And probably Pirio is up there translating into Swahili, probably. And they know languages and people from history, from decades of mission work. And God has given us the best. I mean, you know what I mean by that word. Whatever that means, you know what I'm saying. God has built up our church. And the homegrown, unsung heroes of many kinds And I was yesterday praying and thinking about these people that just serve in their ways nobody knows. It's Jeremiah 13:17. I wept in secret places. Remember that verse? Wow. People that take up the cross. Yeah. Okay, go to the verse, please. We'll be done in a little bit here. We've got all night, actually. Verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another. Okay. Here comes a little activity. You got to go with me on it. I know it's hard. But I got Pastor Dennis White over here, and I asked him to speak to the young people for just a few minutes. So I'd like, if you are between the ages of 12 and 30 years of age, could you come up here on the stage right now? Come on up. Between the ages of 12 and 30 years of age. Come on up. Stand up on the stage. Come on. As they come up, read the verse.
I think we need a bigger stage. Yeah, there's room over here. Isn't this amazing? So, hey, church, this is your next generation. You know, I'm just looking to see if there's any rebellious people sitting back there. So, there's a few that want to be up here. They didn't make the cut. But, hey, this is amazing because I was thinking about this word. And if you could just think with me for a few minutes about this word charge. Nowadays, we use it for our bank card. We're going to charge it, swipe our phone, and put on the credit card. But in the Bible, it's an interesting word because there are two different kinds of charges. There's a charge that is against us, and there's a charge that is for us. You know, and I'm thinking about us in our lives, and there are many things that people want to say about us and who we are in our generation and how we are growing up. And it's always been that way, hasn't it? Like somebody has always said something about a generation. There's been something against it. And I was reading today, actually, it's in Acts chapter 7, the very last verse, verse 60. And this is amazing because this is Stephen. He is being stoned. He's been stoned, actually. He's ready to take his very last breath. And he looks up and with his last breath, he says, "Don't charge them. Don't charge them," meaning forgive them. They don't know what they're saying. This is as Jesus said, like, don't put anything against their charge. Then if you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, I believe, it said the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, he says, "I charge you," meaning that there is a charge against sin, but there's another charge that is given to us by God. You know, one is to condemn and one is to edify. And I think in our life, we are so used to receiving these charges against us that are designed to tear us down. And we receive them and we give them to ourselves and we give them to each other. But how about receiving a charge from God? Wouldn't it be amazing to receive something from God? And actually, here is Paul telling Timothy, "I charge you." And then if you go a couple chapters further, chapter 4, he says this, "Let no man despise your youth," meaning let nobody charge your youth against you, meaning you are young and some people want to charge that against you. And yes, we don't really know what the heck we're doing, but does anybody ever know what they're doing? You know, just a little story with Pastor Shabelli. I love it because when we were in China, we came back and, you know, had issues, of course, as you usually do on the mission field. And he actually said these words. I says, "Hey, you know what you're doing. Can't you help us out?" And he goes, "I don't know what I'm doing." You know, and it's amazing that people will charge. They have something against us, and they will charge our age against us. But it is amazing because the Apostle Paul says, let no more man charge this against you, but you are to be an example. Isn't that beautiful? Here is Paul telling Timothy that you are a young person, a young man, a young woman, that you are to be an example to the church. You know, this whole entire time we have been looking at our church and the people that have been here for decades and decades, and praise God, and we continue to look to them. But on another way, we look in our own lives, right? And we are an example. And that word example means actually that there has been something deeply impressed upon us. Meaning that it has been beaten inside of us, actually. And here is Stephen. He's been beaten, right? He's being stoned because he has something to say about the Word of God. Because Christ has touched his life. Because the Holy Spirit is real in his life. And here he is. He has been stoned. He has been beaten. He has been impressed, you could say, with stones. But he is an example to the people that were standing before him. I could just imagine, and we say that Paul was probably there. We could imagine the impression that he had when he was standing there, being stoned and dying his last few words. And you know what? Sometimes in our life, pain comes. And it leaves a deep impression in our lives. But do you know what? We leave an impression too. Because we are an examples to our church. It says we are examples in our words. We are examples in our deeds. We are examples in the way we walk. We are examples in love. We are examples in our spirits. And this is the most beautiful thing is, you know, where our church started from. And where it is today with you guys, with us here. It is the same spirit because something has been impressed on us that cannot be touched by man. You know, and I want you guys to think about this. Here it comes, you know, 2019. You know, let us be impressionable by this church and the Word of God. But more than that, let us give an impression of our church to other people. We are examples, you know. People are looking at us and saying, wow, that is something amazing. That is something special. What do I see? I see love. I see the Spirit of God. I see somebody who preaches something, but they also live what they preach. It is amazing. And that is not too far for us to reach because it is the Holy Spirit that is living inside of us. And here we are. We are a generation that is praising. There is a generation that praise God, and they have stories, don't they? And we love listening to them. And here we are. We are going to do the same thing. We are going to praise God, and we are going to make stories and create stories and go to many places in the world and go to many people and speak the truth, go to many people and share love. Amen. Amen. Should we pray or? Yeah, let's pray. Hey, guys, just keep this in your heart. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Just as a church, just look at the next generation. And you guys up here on the stage, just look at each other, actually. Because you are the ones that are going to be marching and serving in this battle together. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for where you have placed us. And I pray, Lord, from the depths of my heart and through the Holy Spirit that you will give us an anointing. Give us the truth. Give us the Spirit. Help us to live in love. Help us to live according to how we preach. Let us help us to live, Lord. We just thank you so much. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, God. We just thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Doesn't that give us something to think and pray about right there? The next generation. Isn't that beautiful? Huh? There it is. One generation shall praise your works to another generation. We came out of Egypt, and God brought us out of Egypt, you know. Yes, beautiful. Thanks, Pastor. It was beautiful. Look at verse 5, please. I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of your terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. When demons are cast out of a person, maybe you've never seen that happen before. I have seen it. I have seen it a few times. It's very real. And you just think, oh, there are such things as demons. I didn't really believe it or know it or see it before, but now I've seen it. I have seen it. The person collapsed on the floor and the demons were gone. And it took 5 hours. That was an amazing experience for me. And I'll never forget that. That was amazing. When Jesus came and he moved in this world, he knew there were demons. He saw the weakness of the human heart. He saw young people who have their future ahead of them. This is what young people think about. My future. What will I do? I'm not worried about it. I am 14 years old. 18 years old, I start to think 22, 24, whatever it might be. And we have one word, good word, Pastor Dennis shared it. It's trust in the Lord. This God, the living God, he's bigger than Greater Grace and the Baptists and the Pentecostals and every other organization that is rooted with people. But we are not God. We are pointing to God. And our message is beautiful because it's all about God. God does it. I remember when I was a young man tempted with women. I remember that struggle in my heart. You know, being tempted with women in my life. Sexually and other ways, whatever it might be. But I had a simple formula. And it wasn't me. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Though imperfect and a sinner indeed, but the plan is to know God. And when we find God, there's this kind of thing where that happens where you go, whoa, declare him to the next generation. Tell them what you know about victory in your personal life. About struggles in relationships and fears and insecurities. This is what he's saying, I believe, in this psalm. Men shall speak of the might of your terrible acts in verse 6, and I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Have you ever sinned and you thought maybe the hammer would fall? I have sinned, the hammer will fall. But there it says, he's slow. He's slow. Humanly speaking, he is very patient. It's his gentleness makes you, draws you It's his forgiveness that you begin to trust him. I can trust him. He's not on my case. He's not out to destroy me. I can trust him. I can learn about him and know him and find out who he is. And I can also become something like him, conformed to his image, changed on the inside. Declare this to the next generation. And we are blessed because we are in the middle of something that's more than 50 years old, and it's the quality that we care about. It's the little dot in the circle. It's the heart of the believer, that little heart of service that moves mountains and makes a church a place of love, a place of patience, a place of forgiveness, makes a church a good home base where people say, they are somewhere in another part of the world and they might say, you know, I have an anchor. I know people. We have a Bible school. We have our theology sorted through. We have 500 booklets by the founder. We have video. We have NBCNS. We have materials. We have missionaries that come. We have people that do conferences. We are connected with something, and when you are with those people, it's not a big thing like a big organization. It's a spiritual fellowship where we're pointing to the God that we are praising forever and ever. Look at the next verse. It says, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. I'll slow down for a minute. When Jesus was here, you can see two things, the ordinary and the mundane, and the dirt and the sandals and the clothes and the people and the world that he was in. It was kind of just ordinary. And then he would say, have you seen the glory of the kingdom? I am in the kingdom. I am the kingdom. Have you seen the glory of the kingdom? It's kind of like us. We have the ordinary life, ordinary church, ordinary parking lot, ordinary activities. But have we seen the glory of God? Sometimes the veil was pulled back at Lazarus, come forth. Did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God, Martha and Mary? Thank you, Father, that you have not revealed these things to the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed them to these children, these disciples that you gave me. They have seen demons cast out, the dead raised, and I told them, don't just rejoice in that. There's something greater. Your names are in the book of life. Ah, that's even greater. Are they? Is there such a thing, the book of life? Are we going to heaven? Is this a pilgrimage? Is this a journey? Is this just we all have our own stories? Isn't he the author of our faith? He's the writer, and you are the story, and he is the finisher of the story. Wow. We have seen brothers and sisters pass through and go to the other side of the river this year, and I'm sure this coming year. I cannot find any better place to be and in a place where we can hear from our Heavenly Father and prepare us for for our future, whatever that may mean. We are the saints of God. We have God, big God, incomprehensible God. The God that took care of us, from some of us in Maine. And you know, I've told the story many times. Dr. Stevens had a vision for a Bible college. David Bennett was in California. God told him to drive to Maine. Scott Robinson was in Oklahoma. He went to Bowdoin College. My wife was in Washington, D.C., 17 years old. She got out a map, decided to go to Maine. We came from different places, one from here, one from there. But it was God that brought us together. Little things, but if God is in it, it means a lot. Little decisions, little things. Trusting in Him with all our hearts. And He'll direct our paths. Praise Him. This is why I think this is why David is saying so much in this psalm. The whole thing is packed with this. I want to finish it up. Look at it, verse 12. To make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. To make known to us. He wants to be known. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all those that fall. Have you ever had your world crumble? Have you ever crumbled with it? Some of us here, I think I have high respect for so many people because I know your lives. I've seen your world crumble. I've seen the foreclosures, bankruptcies. I've seen suicide in a family. I've seen heartbroken people, broken relationships. I've seen trouble. I've seen people at the grave like we have seen together. But what does it mean when we fall down with our collapsed life? We fall down with it. We are buried in it. He upholds us. Wow. He upholds us. Somehow I'll cry. Somehow I'm heartbroken. Somehow I disappear. Somehow I'm gone. Somehow I'm deeply hurt. Somehow I just can't believe it. No matter how much we prepare for our future, it seems we can never be prepared. But He, isn't that the point? He is upholding us. He, not me, not our preparation. It cannot uphold us. But He upholds us. He will carry us. He will comfort us. Remember Sunday morning message? Everywhere and in all things I have learned. I have been instructed. We must learn. And if we know this God of ours, the Holy Spirit is faithful, and that's our effort here tonight and in our services through the year. And to go back to the point about assembling together, I believe we should do it more as the days approach, because there is a very confusing, troubled world that has a lot of information, but do they have the what's needed? Do we have what's needed? And I know we have, but you know, I'm just saying that. Oh, yeah, yes, Lord, this is needed for us. I should look forward to the year 2019. I'll just finish up. I look forward to the year 2019 with some kind of heart vision. I'm a little speck in this world. Here we are, Baltimore. And in that dot is you and me. And I have something in my heart that I believe God could help me understand and believe. Like Pastor Dennis said to the young people, I want to believe that not only am I part of this church and I am able to receive, but I'm also going to learn in my heart how I can serve, what kind of vision God can give me as a young person, what is God saying to me as a believer, how I can stand in the gap for others, that I am not a victim of my circumstances, but God is a God that leads me in my troubles and in my life. We have a vision. Bible studies. Crossroads Magazine back in Lenox published the Bible studies we had in 1 week in Lenox when we were living there. We had 121 Bible studies every week in New England. Wow. I would say, Lord, could you put it in our hearts, the young men and women, to get in cars and go places to do Bible studies in homes and pray for the sick and raise the dead and do anything and everything you want to do. And we pile back in the car and drive home singing a song and having fellowship with each other. Could you give us more Bible studies in the area from New York City, Brooklyn, with Pastor Sterling, and Manhattan in the Bronx and the Yonkers, and the whole city is ours. All the way down to Richmond, Virginia. Give us, and Culpeper, Virginia, with Pastor Tom here and his family. Let's see, Carissa, Esther, and... Carissa, Esther, and Rebecca, thank you. Wow. Bible studies, 30 of them. 30 Bible studies. 100 was the Bible college students say, let's see, how many do we have? Pastor Taggart, how many was that? Do you remember? Pastor Fleep, do you know? Okay. It's not one of my favorites here. It's over 173 Bible college students and an increase in the full-time students. The GGLC kids, the little ones, 62 of them. GGCA, 205 students in our school. The best high school basketball coach in the entire world is working for us. Yes, Pat Lynch. That was Shirley Lynch's best that works for us at Greater Grace. God has done good things. Our budget for the year, $5.7 million. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, how many millions did you give this year? $1.5 million in missions giving. Our regular operation, I mean, we put food on the table for people, that people have jobs and ministries that would be hard to do because the world does not employ our kind of people in that way. They don't hire us to preach the gospel. So we do it ourselves. We don't need your money. We got our own. And give us more money, Lord. What's our vision for this coming year as a family? Keep it together. If God holds the universe together, he can keep your family together. And I don't accuse or blame anybody for the troubles that we have in life. I understand it. And I know God is a God of grace, and he's bigger than all of our pain and our trouble. On the other hand, there are things we can learn that will help us to keep our families together. There are things we can learn about our tongue, about our heart, about our spirit, about our footsteps, about IT stuff, communications, our devices, our everyday life, our recreation, our time schedule, our friends, who to be with, how to be living in a very difficult time, but with a living God who says, hey, it's a piece of cake. I don't worry about anything. I've got God in my life. We got peace in our life. We're not afraid of the world that we live in. We have an authority of God, an authority of love, and a peace of God in our heart. We have a fellowship of love. I love having fellowship and truth with divine content because I am so hungry and thirsty for God's reality. A founder of a conservative organization said this statement. I just got to say it. He said, a neoconservative is a liberal who got mugged by reality. Reality has a way of mugging you. Reality has a way of slapping you around a little bit and say, hello, where is your God? And we can get slapped by reality back and forth like this, and we say, our God is right here. I have learned, whatever state I am in, to be contented. I have found his righteousness and his holiness. We are here, solid, solidly planted, rooted in the truth. I asked the folks to get some flowers for some people. I want to just have some fun. And we have some flower runners. Some guys just jump up, right, just stand right down here. Be flower runners for me, okay? Come on. Chop, chop, anybody. Guys, you guys, just stand there. Yeah, go ahead. Stand right down there. All right, I need more. I need more, guys. Come on. What's going on? Move. Chop, chop. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Let's go. There we go. Hey. All right. If you are any of these, thank you. That's it. Any of these people. Now, I don't want to sound mechanical doing it this like this, but it is that it does sound that way. But in my heart, these are people we have thought about. These are precious ladies, a wide spectrum of ladies. Maybe you could say, I don't like unsung heroes, but maybe they're not the ones that we talk about a lot. Okay, Sue Carr helps us at GGLC. Would you stand up? I'm going to just go through these names. Mariah Carrick, Texas Greg's daughter, and Carrick. Robin Occolini, she's amazing. Robin Occolini. Jerry, so when you stand up, you're going to get a flower, and these guys are going to run the flower to you. Barbara Densmore, right down front. Pirjo Huovinen. Diane Garbrecht. Debbie Pasta, Sidoni Boye, Valerie Sabo, Cheryl Bogardis, Blessing, you know Blessing from NBCNS, Allison Merkel, okay, boy. And anybody else, do we have any left over? Yeah. Anybody else wants a flower? Stand up. I mean, a woman. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, there we go. Thank you so much. Listen. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Awesome. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Boy. Yeah, it's awesome. Would you pray with me, please? We are sad in one way, Lord, that there are people being mugged by reality and they don't have the capacity. They don't have the capacity. And in a way, we don't either. Human beings, we are so frail. But isn't it interesting that, God, that you have put everything in a balance, and there's something not too much, a just weight is your delight. You don't crush us. Unless by crushing you, we can find you. And when we are hurt in this world, we must come to the way, the peace. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And Jesus knew that this world is just too much for the human heart. That we must come, bow before you, learn the doctrine that is able to save our soul. Learn truth that is able to build us up in the inner man. Find grace. Find worship. Find faith. Find the way, the truth. Find peace, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the living God. Find the answer for life. And Father, for our mission here in Baltimore, Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Delaware. Also our brothers in Las Vegas, in Houston, Miami, Greenfield, Nashville, Chicago, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Silver Spring, Culpeper, Virginia, Havre de Grace, Utica, New York, Toronto, Montreal, Searsmont, Maine, Enfield, Connecticut, Pittsfield, Mass, Marlboro, Mass, the Boston area, New York City, and beyond, Lord, everywhere, in Jesus' name, please raise up, anoint, empower, instruct, use, guide, ordain, heal, and send. Jesus, we pray in your name. Thank you. Amen. That's it. I think I got a notebook filled with stuff here, but I think I'm done. Amen. Good. We're going to have a good time this year. Amen.